In front of you, I invite you to read along with me in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. I'm only going to read a short section below the passage we usually quote for communion. 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, I'm going to begin reading with verse 27. 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 27. The Bible says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who drinks or eats in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many asleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brother, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone's hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment, and the rest I set in order when you come." What Paul is trying to say is, consider and examine your own heart and know why you are participating today. What is your reason for being here today? Obviously, in Paul's day, there were some people who came together for the supper because they were hungry. But Paul says to them, eat at home if you're hungry. You're coming to the wrong meal to fill up. He says, this is the body and the bread of the Lord. When he means examine himself, he's talking about the spiritual reason for you participating today. What is the reason why you want to participate spiritually? As I told you, there were only two requirements for participating today. Number one, being a sinner, and number two, needing a Savior and believing in a Savior. But I'm going to add to that for a moment and say that not only those two things, but in examining our own heart and saying, why am I eating today? Hopefully you're eating today, not only just because you believe in him, but because you want to be one with him. You see, by eating the bread and drinking the blood today, you are inviting the Lord God of the universe to come into your temple. It's symbolic. It's not real. By the way, this bread is just bread, and this juice is just grape juice. But as you partake of it, you can consider it being symbolic of having God come and fill your body temple with himself. For you are the temple of God, and his Spirit lives in you. So today, as you examine yourself, consider inviting God into your temple and having his Spirit fill your life.
And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." If anybody would like to join me to pray for this. Dear Father in heaven, as we partake in the breaking of bread, Lord, we remember this because you ask us to do it in remembrance of you who has given his body, broken body, for the redemption of our sin. Father, this is the most honorable moment that we can experience spiritually as we put ourselves in your place, knowing that we will never amount to that pain that you have taken upon yourself, Lord. But at least we wanted to thank you for giving your body for us. Lord, please bless us all today as we experience this communion with you. We ask this in your name, dear Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Do
going to read the scripture about the Jews.
In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Would you kneel with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, dear precious Jesus, thank you for the blood you shed for us, as sinners, that made us pure and acceptable to our Heavenly Father. We praise thy name because you've done so many things for us. You were crucified, you shed your blood on that cross, so that we may be able to enter heaven with you in the courts. And we bless thy name, and we glorify you, because we worship you, and we want to be able to be with you and remember you all the days of our life as we commune with you. This we do in your name. Amen.
that night, Jesus took up the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat."
Amen.
Amen.
In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us partake.
Communion time to have testimonies and to share how God has blessed you. Has he blessed you? And we want to give an opportunity for that. I have a couple short rules. The first rule is that you be short and to the point. So Pastor and Albert and I are going to be walking around. We'll give you the microphone. He'll be doing this side. I'll be doing this side. We'll do every other. You don't have to come up front. We'll go to your seat. So that's the first rule, that you be short. That means a minute or less. I know a minute is not very long, but a minute is enough to say your story in a short way, because we want to get a lot of stories in. So 1 minute, okay? The second rule is that... I forgot the second rule. The second rule is 1 minute. No. I hate when my brain does that. I know you don't know. I can't know either. I guess I'm sure I'll remember it when you do it.
When you break the rule.
That's right. When you break the rule, that's when I'll remember. So if someone will raise their hand, we'll go around, and I'm sure I'll remember. Someone have a testimony?
Here in the center, Pastor.
All right.
Is that Sam?
Happy Sabbath, all.
Happy Sabbath. Oh, I know the rule. Speak into the mic. And so if I see that you're talking like this, you know, I have a testimony, I will push the mic up. So the rule is usually if it's touching your chin, it's in a good spot. So you should feel it against your chin, okay?
The Lord has blessed me because I was in the world and a heavy sinner. But now he has found me, he has directed me, and he has guided me. And I am here to obey him. Thank you.
I have family members who live in Joplin, Missouri, where many of you know the tornado touched down in May. And I was able to visit with them just a couple of weeks ago. And my brother and sister-in-law and their family were spared. Their house was not touched at all. They lived 20 blocks from where the devastation was. And we drove through there, and it's amazing. People had put that Jesus saved them on their walls, even though their homes were destroyed. And the people are recuperating. And my sister-in-law at the time had said, well, I need to go to the hospital. She is chronically ill. And then she decided, no, I'm going to stay home and just take some oxygen. And that saved her life, because if she had gone, that floor of the hospital was destroyed, and she would have probably died too, and or been injured. And the hospital was lifted 4 inches off its foundation. And so it was God's blessing, I think, that they were not there and that they were at home and they were safe. And I just want to praise the Lord for that. They've been turning their heart to Christ more over the years, and this, I think, has also been a good witness to them to see God work in their lives.
For many years, I was out of the church, and it was, oh, not that many years ago that I came back into the church, and since coming back home, I've been entrusted with so many things and have found so many blessings from people, and really, the biggest blessing are the people who God's entrusted me with to be in my life and ostensibly to help them, and they probably have no idea how much they help me. It's my desire to continually work to be worthy of the trust and the grace that God's shown me for that.
My name is Melissa. I'm one of the co-porters here. And my experience here, especially the last 2 weeks, have been giving me a lot of peace. And I've been getting a lot more foundation for my faith. But just this morning, my mom gave me some news that they found a tumor on her stomach. And it shook me because my dad also had some health problems not too long ago. But I feel just God speaking to me. He's like, why do you think you're here? Like, why do you think I've been pushing you all these weeks? Why do you think I've been showing you myself in your prayers and your devotions? Like, I'm here for you. I'm here for your family. Like, I'm never going to leave you. And I know that God is with me, but I would appreciate prayer. But I know that, like, God is real, and he can heal anyone. And I know that on those last days, he's going to be with us, and there's going to be no physical weakness or emotional deformities. And I just praise God, because God has already given me the peace, and I know that he already has won the victory.
The last time I gave it, a testimony, it was about my older sister. But this morning I talked to my older sister, and I inquired about an aunt. This is back in the state of Ohio. My aunt is Adventist. Her husband, which is my uncle, is Catholic. But anyway, a number of weeks ago, a few months ago, my aunt had her third stroke. And a few weeks ago, it looked like it was just a matter of time. Well, I asked my sister this morning about my aunt, and she said she's doing fine. And I'm just so grateful for that and thank the Lord for that.
How real is God to you guys? Well, this summer, God became real to me. And I know him my whole life, but especially this summer, I just can't express the love that I have for him. And I could just see him everywhere, like when the sun rises, when the sun sets down, when I just see a smile in someone's face. I just see him everywhere, and it's just, I just love God so much.
Good afternoon, church. My name is Nick Ruiz, and I just want to say that I'm really thankful that God made it possible for me to overcome a horrendous drug addiction. Amen. In my life. One day at a time, the Holy Spirit has given me a chance to be able to wake up and be an overcomer. And I don't have to reach over and grab the pipe or go out and drink or go and look for other sensual pleasures in the world in order to help me move forward in life. And another thing I'm really thankful for is the miracle that God has opened my eyes to the understanding that his word is prophetic in reality. And I'm so thankful that God, through his word of prophecy and through understanding, that he's brought me to his remnant church. I've been involved in a lot of different denominations. I still am to this day, but I'm Seventh-day Adventist pretty much to the bone marrow now. And I'm really thankful that the Holy Spirit has opened up my eyes to the understanding of where the church is at today. and that's a miracle in itself. I mean, just you got 33,000 denominations. Is it not a miracle that God has brought us to His remnant church? Only a God can do that. So,
hello, my name is Juan, also known as Bishop Arias, and I joined this program this year. I'm one of the older gentlemen in the group. And I've had the privilege, I can relate to that story, I used to be in the street, but now I have the privilege of taking the gospel to the street. And one of my early mentors was, I also had the privilege of teaching early teens, but when I was small, my early teens teacher was Jesse Galvan. You guys know who he is? So I'm thankful to be in his church. I don't know if he's here, but he hasn't been feeling well. But he was like one of my early mentors, so it's great to be in his church.
At my last testimony, I was praising God for my son. Unfortunately, recently, it's been an unfortunate past 2 weeks. They've taken him from me due to a fall that he had. But, you know, although that, you know, they took him from me, I am so blessed to have my son. And I, you know, it's been really hard, but I haven't lost faith in God to bring him back to me. And I'm very grateful that he's healing and recovering very, very well. He's still a strong, healthy boy. And I'm just praying that God continues to bless me and my family and keep me strong and keep me closer and closer to God.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Craig Miles, and I'm sure as Pastor JP handed me this mic, he said, oh no, 60 seconds. It's hard for me, but let me just try to say this, that what I'm about to say, I don't want it to be a selfish testimony, and at the same time, a request from all of you here. I was not raised Seventh-day Adventist. I come from another denomination, I'm sure as others here, 14 years with Calvary Chapel, and I have family, daughters that still worship there. But you know, I'm so thankful, and I don't know how you guys really understand what you have, those that have been raised Seventh-day Adventists, but when I heard this truth on 3ABN, it just really blew me away. And things that I questioned that I didn't realize how much I questioned just kind of fell into line as I sat over months and with the Bible in my hand and let the Lord just witness to me. Now, having said that, that knowledge went here, and Pastor JP knows this very well, and this has been a real struggle for me, even though the Lord may have delivered me many years ago from the things that we think, like alcohol, tobacco, drugs, whatever that is, he's been so wonderful to deliver me from that. But it goes deeper than that. The things that have been a part of my life since I've been a child, whether it been through religion that really wasn't of God, that all this self-condemnation. And, you know, the bottom line is, you know, do I really know Jesus? And I know Pastor JP has said that. Do I know him? Do I love him to where the obedience will just flow out of a love and a joy? I've got a business that's a seven-day business. It's a restaurant. It's opened over the last 8 months, and I'm not being obedient to the Lord. I don't want to just be obedient to the Lord in the letter of the law. I want the law in my heart. I want to be able to, no matter what the consequence may be, that I can be obedient to the Lord. At my age, that I can say, Lord, use me. And like he's using these young people here. So, you know, I know the Lord hasn't brought me here. I know the Lord hasn't showed me this just for me to fail. And so whether or not I look at these things in the way that he's teaching me, I needed to go on this journey to find love for my Savior, not just knowledge and agree with all that. I need this, and I think we all need it. And so I do believe this. Self-condemnation can creep in, and I know that's not of God. I want to be in love with my Lord, and I want to serve Him. And I need your prayers. I have a wife that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I have been afraid to make the right moves because I'm concerned. And the bottom line is I don't trust my Lord. I need to trust Him with all my heart. And no matter what happens, not lean unto my own understanding, but in all my ways, okay, trust Him and He will direct my path. So I hope this to somebody that may be struggling, whether you're a Seventh-day Adventist or not, that I need to give you the mic back. God bless you.
No, actually, what I was going to say was that we as a church would like to pray for you. Yeah. Because none of us know how hard it is to grow up in that business that you're passed down to you from your parents, and now you're making a decision, and you're coming to the place where you're ready to make a decision to obey Jesus, and it's hard, man. And so we want to pray for you as a church. And so, Father, I lay my hands on my brother Craig right now. And we as a congregation, 300 strong, lift our voices and our hearts to you, asking you to bless this man and to help him at this moment, to help him with the struggle that he has. He wants to be obedient to you, Lord. And I pray that you'd give him the love of obedience in his heart. I also want to pray for Christian. She just shared with us that her baby was taken away. And God, we pray for her, Lord, that we lay our hands on her and ask as a congregation, as a group, that you would hear her cry, Father, that she wants her child. She wants to be a mother. She wants to raise him in your name. And I pray, Father, that you would open every door, change every testimony, do whatever you need to do so that she can have her child back. Lord, reunite families. I just thank you because I know you're going to do that. I know you hear us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's do two more, okay?
Praise God. I just want to thank the Lord for, I don't know, you probably all of you have read the book, Steps in Christ. And I had the book in my trunk, and one day I just said, you know, I'm just going to read this. I've had it in here forever. So I started reading it, and I praise God for the mercy and God's love. And he's shown me to be a testimony before others. And it's amazing how if you just be obedient to God's word, how he will just bless your family, you, and everybody around you. People don't understand that, but once they see the way you are and the love and the patience you have, they're saying, well, that's not normal. But I praise God for he's shown me and taught me all this, and I can be a blessing to others. God bless you, and I love you all.
My name is Michelle, and I just want to say I wasn't always raised Seventh-day Adventist. I used to be Catholic, and being Catholic, you would practically have communion almost every time. And the one thing I remember was Jesus Christ in body was like chalkboard. He said like chalkboard, and his blood was like bitter wine. Not something you'd actually see Jesus in the Bible. And so it really twisted my mind. But being Seventh-day Adventist and having communion here, it's just a special time. It's nothing like out of the ordinary. It's like out of the ordinary. It's not something like an everyday thing, you know. It's really special, and so it's a really great blessing because you see, you get to do like washing of the feet, something I've never done until I was Seventh-day Adventist, and it just really means a lot, and it's just a really great blessing to do this today.
You know, I grew up as a Muslim, and I became Christian here, and thanks to the Lord that I have converted. And I've known the Lord, and now I couldn't imagine myself sitting here doing the communion with you, but now I do. I want to share with you my experience with the Lord. You know, I know all of us, we pray all the time, and sometimes we go through challenges, why the Lord doesn't answer our prayer, and what the Lord, when the Lord answers prayer. Many times we praise him when he answers our prayer, because we know what he did. But there is a lot of time the Lord does something for us we are not even aware of that we need to be thankful with. For many years, I didn't understand why the Lord did, why things happened to me in the past, 40 years ago. I didn't know that the Lord was doing this till I became Christian. He led my steps from 40 years ago to bring me here. So we don't know why the Lord does things for us at one point of time. But he does it because he loves us so much. And we need to remember to thank him for everything, the things that we know and the things that we don't know. Because he is God. He's not just any God. He's the one who made us. He gave us freedom. But he lead our steps when we recognize him. And for that, I want to thank him and worship him every single day. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for the service that we had today. Thank you for the testimonies that were shared. And thank you for those here that cried out in their hearts to you for prayer. Lord, we just ask that you would take this offering of ours, our hearts, our lives, and that you would use it for your glory. Use it to grow your kingdom and use it so that others can know of your love. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In about 2 minutes, church, we are going to receive the offerings that you've brought today, that you've planned to bring before the Lord. And let me tell you what your offerings do in this church. Number one, your offerings support this campus. Number two, your offerings support Christian education. Number three, your offerings support evangelism. And my passion is evangelism. By giving to the local church budget, you are supporting the work that we can do to reach others for Christ. Let me tell you some of the projects that have already been done and that we are about to do. Last year, we had an evangelistic series on final events. We've had many connecting events through the months. We're going to have one more next month in August. Coming up in the fall, we'll have, actually, at the end of August, we're going to have a youth evangelistic night where our young people, our youth group, is going to put on an evangelistic series for their friends and for the church. Isn't that exciting? That our young people are wanting to share the good news of Jesus. And then in September, we have an event where we're going to have Weimar come down and run a New Start weekend to encourage us in health and living a vibrant life and a healthy life, a holistic lifestyle in our life. And they're going to help us make changes for the positive to our soul temple. So that's exciting. We have a New Start weekend in September. In October, we're going to have a one-night evangelistic series. And I'm only going to speak on the Sabbath. The advertising is going to say Saturday or Sunday, what day is the Sabbath? And we're going to advertise, we're going to put those flyers out everywhere because you know what? People are questioning in their minds, is this biblical? Is this what the Bible says? So we're going to advertise. And then the next month in November, we're going to put out a brochure and I'm going to have a one-night meeting on what happens when you die. And once again, we're going to publish and put out flyers everywhere. So these one-night evangelistic meetings are meant to build up, to catch interest, and to let people know about this wonderful message that we have. So by supporting local church budget, you are supporting the outreach, the ministry, the evangelism that we have. Thank you for your faithful support, continued faithful support.